living religion.
Yeah.
Without which we cannot go very much further.
This is humanity.
Yes, humanity. I was in Rishikesh and 5 or 6 times in India. So that is why, wherever possible, I do with them, not for long times, a day or 2 or 3 or a week the most. Share our spiritual food together.
So far hospitality is concerned, according to Vedic culture, Indian homes were open for everyone, even for the enemies. Griham satram api praptam vishastyam akutubha. If one gets an enemy at his home as guest, he should receive him in such a way that the man would forget about his enmity with him. Griham satram api praptam vishastyam akutubha. So these are preliminarily human behavior. Even without any understanding of spiritual values, they are expected to behave nicely.
Yes, sir. It is very easy to love someone who loves you. But real purified selfless love is to radiate it without any discrimination,
yeah,
both to the person who loves,
yeah,
and who
say,
does not love you. That is
I
the beginning
that.
Of that good hospitality. That's real hospitality.
Yeah. That I say, griham satrum api praptam. Even one gets an enemy, he should also be deceived.
He's come to your place and treat him with all the respect,
yeah,
and courtesy and that loving kindness.
From Mahabharata you can understand that when Bhima, Arjuna and Krishna went to Jarasandha to fight with him, enemy. So in the daytime they were fighting like enemies. And at night Krishna, Bhima and Arjuna were guests in the house of the same Jarasandha. Yes. At night they are guests. They are talking very friendly and there is no enmity. But in daytime they will fight.
Yes. Gautama the Buddha, whom I follow, who is my teacher, a poor man came and he found him panting. Asking me, what's the trouble? Oh, I got news that you are here. I want to see you. And the Buddha found that not only had he run, he asked him, when did you last have a meal? He said, that's quite a few days ago. He said, we cannot preach on empty stomachs. Ananda, give this man a good meal before he could come to me. And this fine virtue of hospitality, much as we have treasured in the past, when people leave their shores, they are inclined to forget this. I've been addressing various groups. I do not confine myself to Buddhist groups only. Whatever group was interested to foster some understanding, goodwill and peace, I addressed. I said 3 things that many people forget when they leave their countries are, first, the serene smile. Secondly, hospitality. Thirdly, they become ashamed of their own cultures because many are strangers of their own cultures. I had last time an opportunity before coming to Southampton I addressed some people from Sri Lanka, and there were some people from Canada as well at Montreal, and I pointed this out. In this light, I find almost all the teachers that come from that part of the world and their followers are trying to live up to this noble virtue. And if people get together, live together, and have meals, perhaps so even that
these might... These devotees, they have not been separately instructed about hospitality. But because they are devotees of the Lord, this hospitality automatically they learn. Jasya asti bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarvai gunai tatta samasati sura. If one becomes perfectly devotee of the Lord, all the good qualities of demigods manifest automatically. The hospitality is also a good quality. So, out of many good qualities, this is one of them. So these devotees, they are automatically well behaving to the guest, newcomer. On account of their advancement in Krishna consciousness. Because a Krishna conscious person takes everyone, not only human being, but even animals, insects, trees, birds, bees, everyone, living entities, as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So it is their duty to behave well with all living entities, not only the human being, but also even with the animals. Ahimsa, amanittam adambittam ahimsa khanti arjava. The ahimsa preached by Lord Buddha, that is also one of the qualifications of devotee. Amarittam adambham ahimsa, that is stated in Bhagavad Gita. So we are preaching, every religion preaches, but people do not follow. The Christian religion also preaches ahimsa, thou shalt not kill, but they do not follow.
Yes, we as followers of the Buddha take it from this angle that this mental process, which is normally subject to lobha, dosa and moha, we have to purify this mental process from these defilements and substitute liberality, including hospitality, in loving kindness and wisdom. It's not only a process of purifying, it is a parallel purpose of building goodwill. According to us, if we know to live together, eat together in a cooperative spirit, we are not going to violate the five fundamental precepts, starting with Panatipata, Virmani, Sikkhapadam, Samadhyami. That is not to cause any hurt to any mentally conscious living being. And Ahimsa Paramo Dhammo, non-violence is the highest righteousness. And from this can come so much good. If we love each other, we express that love in its purest form by sharing. And if we share, we are not going to steal anything from someone else. We are not going to commit adultery. We are not going to say lies. and will not be under the influence of narcotics and so on. So that's that purification process, which is very, very powerful, not only for oneself, but the society in which he lives. So this is why I emphasize this virtue, and wherever I go, I try to meet within the limitations of time and transport.
Where you are staying here, remember?
That had become a little difficult because it's difficult. We didn't know these ashrams, and we came yesterday. The Guru Nanak temple people made arrangements for our transport. We were staying with them for 1 week, and they looked after us dearly, and they made arrangements for our transport to come here. Some people were coming on some other business, so they brought us. So it was not much time. So we met a person in the street, and we told them that we are looking out for a place to stay. And that person said, well, it's difficult here. Then I asked about 2 or 3, and we had some addresses, and they were far away. Then we met a friendly gentleman who was just reversing his car. He was smiling, and we smiled. We said, well, could you tell us a small place to pitch a tent? We carry a small tent. He said, for a day or two. He asked me, how long? I said, maybe just to find some breathing space at least. So we have pitched a small tent in a private garden. That's somewhere in Cheswick Lane.
What is it?
Cheswick Lane.
That's by the river. Huh? It's quite far away. So last night we stayed there. Is that on the western side of it?
Yes, that's west 4.
West 4.
This is northern, but southern. I do not know. We are also guests for the last 2 days. Do not know much about it.
Much about it is. I was here in 1952, and somewhere in 60 as well. I've been traveling 18 years in nearly 100 countries and trying to build a little goodwill. Of course, I'm just one man, and within the capacity of one person, and this boy joined me in New Zealand about 1.5 years ago. Few bridges are being made. A religion that is not lived, according to us, fails the purpose of religion, because religion should be a way of living. And if you live that, there will be less dukkha and more shanti, more peace. There is an awakening in almost all these parts. I was even in the East European countries, from Sofia right up to Moscow. Even there, I carried all the books, the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita, Buddhist books. At the frontier, they opened the books. I had all these books with me. Ramayana, Vedas, something from Egypt, Confucius, Lao Tse. They opened, they looked, they put them back. Not one question was asked. And that very police officer who was passing my passport, I saw him in the restaurant, he called me. Because I had an old photograph which I had taken when I first started traveling. That's 20 years I didn't take it seriously. So he said, this is not you. First, before I met him in the restaurant, I said, technically you may be right because we are changing every moment. So it's not myself. But after some time, he passed my passport, and then I went to the restaurant where I saw him. He said, you called me? He said, formerly I was an officer, now you are my friend. What do you eat? Well, he asked the waitress to come bring him a very fine meal, the best you can offer in the restaurant. I said, that's very kind. Then he said, I'll bring you meat and all that, made a list in a note. I said, please keep me out of it. I said, I'm a pure vegetarian. What do you eat? I said, all vegetables. If you have rice, it's good. Oh, bring him a vodka.
Vodka, but...
Vodka.
Whiskey.
Liquor. It's like whiskey. It's a counterpart of... We don't even work as whiskey here. It's Scotch. I told him I don't drink that either. What do you eat and what do you drink? So, yes, what's the matter with this? Nothing wrong with me. I'm quite healthy. And only thing, I'm a follower of the Buddha, and our first precept is non-violence to all mentally conscious living beings. And that's the reason why we follow this. Ah, you miss the steak, don't you? I said, I miss nothing. If one wants to have vegetables prepared, there are so many ways of preparing it healthier, and if one wants to taste it, it could be even more tasteful. All right, bring him as many vegetables. And what then you drink? Beer? I said, no. Fruit drinks, if you have, you ordered, gave me this thing. I wanted to pay. He wouldn't allow me to pay. He paid it. Those people are kind there. And from the time I got went across, I could talk to anyone without any restriction. I could discuss religion with farmers, factory workers, doctors, lawyers, whom I made in the course of my, you see. And they were getting interested because people who have not seen materialism, they are very crazy for it. But once they have it, and it is beginning to be a surfeit, and divorces and suicides and other troubles increase, nervous cases, they think, oh, now there's a vacuum setting in. So they are interested. I was in every East European country. They never tried to tamper with my books or my talks. Because I didn't organize any public talks, I did made no attempt. Then Czechoslovaks, Hungarians, very warm-hearted people, there are yoga classes there. And I met quite a few Hungarians outside who refer to yoga. Then Romanians, Yugoslavs, Bulgarians, they are friendly people. Swamiji, have you been there in Eastern European countries?
Or? I have been in Moscow.
Moscow, they're friendly people. I will go back again.
Yeah. Yes, I know. Mm-hmm.
So, it is a world which is shrinking.
The government is against any religious.
Well, not so strict now as they pass, because the word religion has been used as a narcotic by people. The religious institution was kissing the state, and the state was kissing them.
When I was in the airport, the custom clearance, as soon as they saw my book, Bhagavad Gita, they called police.
I was also getting ready.
The policeman said,
well,
that's so suspicious.
I was wondering whether they would have asked me whether I am bringing narcotic, the religion, the heart of the heartless, soul of the soulless, the opiate of the masses. So I had read Marx before I left my country. I really thought they will ask me, but no such question was asked. And ultimately, when I was leaving the Soviet Union, they again opened my books, you see, and put them back, one book, and officer kept one book. I thought, now what is this? All right. He closed the suitcase, did not put this book, and he comes behind me and says, could I have this book? I said, you see, I have made many notes in the book. Why do you want that book for? So kindly return it to me, please. He won't return it, he follows. And he says, please let me have it. I asked him, why do you want this book really for? He said, I have studied Buddhism from the Northern School and I would like to know something about the Southern School of Buddhism. I said, anyhow, you can get these books. I'll give you an address. But he won't give it to me. He said, please let me have it. I said, all right, good health and peace to you, you can have it. Hungarians are very warm-hearted people, very warm-hearted people. And Swamiji, you generally spend more of your time here?
Yes, generally in America. Los Angeles.
America.
And also in Europe.
We went to Hare Krishna in Los Angeles, also didn't we stay a couple of days there? Yes. Can you remember they overtook our car and when you were coming there, they were waving to us? I think the world is shrinking, not that any continents are going down to the sea, but people are moving about the place. I think the more we start thinking about one world rather than big barriers and get together and meet together and talk together in a spirit of loving kindness, with tolerance, radiating our love always, I think this is the only way I know of. And people are getting interested in the universities and other high schools. Not still by the millions, but certainly by the hundreds and thousands. And that's good enough for a start.
Some of our books, the selected textbooks in many colleges, universities. Mm-hmm. You have seen our books?
I've seen some of them, not all of them, because I meet these boys and girls and I seen that book about
this book, Nectar of Devotion, that is a study book in the Temple University. Similarly, our Krishna book. And what other books? That especially Krishna book and Nectar of Devotion. Bhagavad Gita also. As it is. We consider Lord Buddha also as incarnation of God.
Yes, I know that. Of course, on this there is a difference of view between the Orthodox Buddhists and that thinking. Because during the earlier days of Buddhist preaching, there were certain differences of opinion. And the Brahmin sections fell into various categories. Some of them were not very friendly. Others accepted quite a few of their teachings. And a third section led by people like Sariputta and Moggalli's son Moggalla, they became followers as well. And of course so many things have been incorporated, kaam, krodh, lobh, dvesh, abhimam. They are very similar to the teachings of the Buddha and they are very progressive. because lobha is at the root of our problems. Tanhaya jayate soko, tanhaya jayate bhayak, tanhaya vipamuttasya natti soko utubhaya. Greed is the cause of suffering. Greed is the cause of fear. Remove this greed, where is the suffering, where is the fear? And of course, being tolerant and understanding, man being a bundle of habits and customs, we cannot eradicate all grief overnight, but certainly we can start reducing this greed. Reduce. And then that's the only way to purify the mind. And then also, such a society, where greed is being reduced, will be relatively a peaceful society. Simple living, high thinking and high practice. That's the cornerstone of our philosophies. Multiplication of so many jhanas, called national output, flying to the moon and not going into one's mind, and producing these things and calling them. And what is
sometimes, sometimes we find that peaceful living is visible even in animal society. Just like the cows, they're very peaceful. There are other animals, dogs and others, they fight. But hundreds of thousands of cows, they live very peacefully. Birds also, just like the swans, they live very peacefully. So, if that's the highest code of life, to live peacefully, because that is also found in animal society, is that the perfection of life?
Yes, man has to ask himself his simple and straightforward question. What really does he want to put his life to? Does he want suffering or peace?
Suffering, of course, nobody wants.
That's exactly.
But in this material world, even if you become peaceful, does it mean that you are out of suffering? I don't think.
Yeah. Well, I've been asking in all these universities, high schools, and almost audiences, what is the purpose of this so-called modern education? What is the purpose? If so, kindly define this purpose. Have people thought of this? I just gave a broadcast at Southampton day before yesterday. Not many people appear to have seriously considered this question. Is it to fly to the moon? Is it to be a food taster or a noise lover? Or is it to build dreams and castles in the air? Or to soak oneself in the whirlpools of karma, sensuality? What is this life for? What is our education for? No one appeared. Very, very few people have appeared to
say. No, there is no end of the education. Their only end is economic development.
That's right.
That means higher standard of sense-getting.
The more material junks people can produce, that's supposed to be the educated person. And I told them, directly and indirectly, your systems, which have transplanted the well-tried systems, especially of India, has created a catastrophe. We have made mistakes in the past, but we profited by them and evolved a successful educational system that taught the individual how to build some peace within himself, mentally and physically, within his family, within his relations, society, nation and the world. And today, that system has been overtaken by this materialistic system. One calls himself materialist directly, another camouflage just under the name of religion. That's the only difference I know of in these two systems in the West. That's the only difference. And I told them, I said, we want peace, shanti, shanti, shanti. And we know the danger of playing with the fiery ball of materialism, which is throwing its tentacles into any part of society. Divorces, nervous cases, mental cases, cancers, suicides, family life is breaking. And it reminds me of Gibbon's writing about the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. And all those symptoms are there in this so-called progressive civilized culture. I use the word so-called. And this mind...
But what remedy you have suggested?
Reduction of greed and substitution of liberality. There's no other remedy. Because greed causes the rat race. Greed causes these wars. But if we reduce this, and the reduction parallelly followed by simple living, high thinking and high practice, there is no other remedy. Whatever religion a man follows, if they get involved in this rat race of materialism, war is inevitable. Whether for a stretch of water or for land. But if man lives a simple life, this Mother Earth can be made to produce everything that is necessary. Soya beans are a very fine substitute for meat. And if they do not damage the crust of the earth, and if they scientifically control birth, scientifically, not by drugs and pills, which are dangerous.
What is that, scientific?
It's the control of the sex.
Brahmachari.
Brahmachari.
Let them learn.
And dhammo ave rakkati dhammachari.
Suggestion that you reduce your greediness, but unless they get a substitute, they cannot. That is the difficulty.
Yes. The substitute is, according to us, we point out, the difference between the sensual fleeting pleasures, which is not quite a proper word, it's no pleasure in the end that brings pain and suffering. In the renunciation of greed is piti, delight. And when a man enjoys delight, that's incomparably better and lasting, yes. More.
According to Vedanta philosophy, every living entity is searching after delight, anandamaya vyasa. By nature, a living entity is delightful. but he has been covered by this temporary material covering, and therefore his delightness is pervert. So our philosophy, this Krishna consciousness philosophy, is param dishta nivartak. If you give him better delight, then he can give up this inferior delight of material enjoyment. Otherwise, simply by instructing that you give up this, it is difficult.
That's right. One has to sabba papasya akaranam kusalasya upasampada sachitta pariyodapanam hitam buddhanu sasana. Abstain from the unwholesome, the source of all our problems and suffering, lobha, dvesha, moha. Kusalasya upasampada. Practice the virtues. That is, when the mind is rooted in alobha, that is, non-greed, liberality, including hospitality, adosha, non-hatred, evil, all loving kindness, amoha or panya, wisdom. And why? When one is on the Noble Eightfold Path, right understanding, right thinking, right speech, right bodily action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration, there is that oozing joy and delight. And that is the finest substitute. Man, because of avidya, had not tasted delight. Because of his weakness, they thought moksha.
Yes.
That it was here in this earth when they indulge in sensualities.
We are therefore presenting Krishna, the most delightful feature. So, chanting and dancing before Krishna, taking his prasadam and practicing delightful nature, awakening the delightful consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So this is taking practical shape. All these European, American boys, Canadian, African, they are becoming delightful, and with great delight they are chanting, dancing, and taking prasadam. Atas Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Graiham Indriyai Sevan Mukhi Jivhadu Swami was full of faith. We cannot understand God by our present senses. So the senses are to be purified. And that purification begins sevanuk by engaging the tongue, jivahu, in the delightful activities of Krishna consciousness. So practically we are getting result. These boys, they were very morose, but now they are very delightful, simply by following this method, engaging the tongue in the service of Krishna. Tongue has got two business, tasting and chanting, vibrating. So they are vibrating, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Yuva Kevala, and tasting Krishna Prasad. And we are practically saying that they are becoming delightful, living very happily, preaching all over the world. I started this movement alone in 1966. But these boys, inexperienced boys, having no spiritual training, they are trained up in their own ways, meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication. But they gave up all these habits and delightfully they are going any part of the world and preaching this cult, and you are meeting his success. It is not that I have gone every place. It is not possible. I am old man. So I give them direction. Just like this boy, he is a Grihastha. So husband and wife, they are organizing in Germany. We have got 4 or 5 branches in Germany. We have published this record and so many books and literature. So the Sankirtan movement, even though conducted by inexperienced young men, but they are creating delight to the masses.
But they are very,
I'm
very envious of them.
Eh?
I'm very envious of them. Because they have got this Guru's grace on them.
Yes.
This Guru's grace which is working. It is the invisible, you see, which is all powerful.
Well, you can get also, provided you take it. Guru is not
mine.
The vision says, one thing is that they take it, others will not take it. That is the difference. If there is a picture, my Guru Maharaj, the one man has fallen in a deep well and he is crying, save me. So another man dropped a rope, that he catch it, I shall carry it. Then he will not carry it, catch it. Then how you can be drawn? So the matta paratanam nanya, there is nothing more superior than me. We are preaching the same thing, that you are searching after God. You are, some of you are disgusted that there is no God. But here is God. You take his name, you take his address, you take his many daily activities, everything is there. And that is our mission. When we started this Krishna Consciousness Movement in 1966, so when I registered this society, somebody suggested that why not make it God Consciousness? And no, I want to give definitely what is God. God, they have got different conception. But here is God, Krishnastu Bhagavan Sam. That is the Vedic injunction. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. And when He was present, He proved it, that He is the Supreme Personality of God. So, we have not introduced any new system of religion. That is not a fact. We have simply blessed, administered the same thing which was spoken 5,000 years ago. That's all. 5,000 years ago, Krishna said that there is nothing, no more superior authority than me. We are preaching the same thing. The same old thing. Krishna said, Sarva-dharmān parityajya māmekam saraṇam vraja. You just surrender unto me. Krishna said that surrender unto me, and we are speaking surrender unto Krishna. Same thing. Krishna said that I am the origin of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhava, matta sarvam pravartaya. We are speaking the same thing. That the original source of everything is Krishna. We are challenging the scientists also. They are of opinion that life has come from matter. And we are challenging, no. Life and matter both have come from life. This is our challenge. So, originally life, originally Krishna, life, not matter. Matter has come subsequently. So our this Krishna consciousness movement is not a new movement. It is the old movement. At least historically, 5,000 years old. And we have got so many books. We have, out of 60 volumes, we have published only about 12 volumes. So it's the great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. So everything is there, nothing new. We haven't got to make a new system of religion. It is already there. Simply, people may kindly understand it. That is our problem.
What happens when similar statements are made by other people that they have their own God who says they made a unique system. And someone else says, no, we have our own unique system. Someone else says, no, all those three systems we do not agree with. We got our unique system. What's going to happen in that?
That will follow in upon each other. The system which is accepted more, that is accepted. You can present so many systems. But if the test will be which system is more accepted by the people, by the mass general people, that is successful. Phalena parisya. And if somebody says that I have got my own God. And some other says, I have got my own God. But this is a fact, God is one. You may call by different name, that is a different thing. But God cannot be manufactured, that you manufacture your God, I manufacture my God, he manufactures his God. That is not God.
That's exactly what is happening.
But happening, that is another thing. We are talking of the principle. God is one. God cannot be two. Then there is no meaning of God. Now, if I present Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if you disagree, then you'll have to present your God. Now you have to consider who is actually God. Just like I talked with Professor Kotovsky in Moscow. So I asked him that where is the difference between your communist philosophy and our philosophy? The communist philosophy, they have created their own God, Lenin. Lenin is their God. You have seen in Moscow.
Yes. Every street, everywhere,
Lenin's picture,
yes,
Lenin's
book. Yes, that's right.
So I told him that you have created your own God, Lenin. And we have got our own God, Krishna. Now, the principle of accepting somebody as God is there in your philosophy and in my philosophy. But that you cannot avoid. Your communistic philosophy cannot avoid the conception of God, a leader. That's why in Buddha philosophy also, there is a conception of God, Lord Buddha.
No. That's not correct, because we do not treat the Buddha. In fact, when the Buddha preached his atheistic philosophy, that's why he was termed a Nastika, a Vasala. We do not believe in a God. We say Panya wisdom. And Lord Buddha is an incomparable.
That is, you follow the leadership of Buddha.
Leadership, that's correct.
So that is I am pointing out. Leadership, God means the leader. According to Vedic injunction, God means the supreme leader. Nitya Nityanam Chetanas Chetanana. He is the chief living entity. Vayadhakshena Prakriti Syate Sacharacharam. God means the supreme leader. So leader you have to accept. That is the conception of God. Either you select Buddha or Lenin or somebody else, you have to accept one leader and follow. That is your business. So our philosophy is that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, he is the Supreme Leader. And we are to obey his order. This is our philosophy. So if you do not obey the orders of Krishna, if you obey the orders of Lord Vidha, or somebody obey the orders of Lenin, the principle is there that you have to follow the orders of somebody. Now you see that Lenin, Krishna, Buddha, that is Gandhi, anyone, that is a different thing. But the principle to accept one leader and follow his leadership is there everywhere. That nobody can change. That is not possible. So the professor could not give me any satisfactory answer. The leadership you have to accept. You cannot do anything independently. You have to accept. That is our constitutional position, that we have to follow somebody. Now you select whom you shall follow. If you are following the most perfect, then you become perfect. And if you are following less perfect or imperfect, then you are imperfect. This is our plan. You have to follow some leader. If your leader is perfect, then you are perfect. If your leader is not perfect, then you are also not perfect.
How is one to find out?
That is another thing.
Yeah, that's a very important and vital thing.
Yes. So, that is another thing. Our philosophy is, God is the most perfect. Otherwise, He cannot be God. So you follow God, then you become perfect. So, Krishna is teaching personally. We accept Krishna as God. And if we follow Krishna's instruction, then you become perfect. Where is the dividend? Simple thing.
But we say,
if you think that Krishna is not perfect, somebody is perfect, then you follow him.
What we believe is that incomparable bliss and peace everlasting is the most perfect.
That is, these are items. These are items. First of all, you have to follow a perfect leader. Then whatever he says, that is perfect. So that peace, you have given a definition of peace. Krishna is giving definition of peace. Bhoktaram jagatavasam sarvaloka maheshwaram sridham sarvabhutanam jnata maam shanti vichyate. I am the proprietor of all the lokas, sarvaloka maheshwaram sridham sarvabhutanam. I am the friend of everyone. Bhoktaram jagatavasam, and I am the enjoyer of all creative activities. Jyatama, when one knows me like that, he gets shanti. This is the shanti formula given by Krishna. One has to accept Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, because he is the proprietor of everything. Therefore he should be enjoyer. And because everything belongs to him, we also belong to him. So, Sridham Sarvabhutana, he's friend of everyone. So these three things, if we understand, Krishna or God is the supreme enjoyer. He is the supreme proprietor. And he is the supreme friend of everyone. Then you get something. If we understand these three things only, then there is shanti. Otherwise, there is no possibility of shanti. Now, how it is, fact, that is a subject matter of discussion. See, Krishna says that sarva-loka maheshwaram, I am the proprietor of all the lokas. And now, study this fact. Who is the proprietor? We are claiming proprietor. Nation, Englishmen, they are claiming this land belongs to the English people. Others claiming this land belongs to the American, Indian, like that. But are they actually the proprietor? Take for example the American land 200 years ago, or say how many years ago? 400 years ago. The land was there. They, these Europeans, migrated there. Now they are proprietors. So 400 years ago, who was the proprietor? In this way, trace history. The land is there. The ocean is there. Everything is there. We sometimes claim that I am the proprietor, we are the proprietor. But this is lying there. Who is actually the proprietor? The actually proprietor is God, Krishna. Ishavasanidam sarvam. Everything is owned by the Supreme Ishvara. Ishvara Paramat Krishna. So, if we study scrutinizingly, then we'll find God is the proprietor actually. He is the creator, therefore he is the proprietor. And because he is the proprietor, he is friend of all. Actually, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Vidyesharjuna Tisthati. Ishvara is situated in everyone's heart as Paramatma. And he is giving us good counsel. We are not abiding by that, we are dissolving, that we are suffering. Otherwise, he is giving us good counsel, good advice. So, this formula, that bhoktanam jagvadosam sarvarupahisaram sridam sarvabhutanam, if we accept God or Krishna as the supreme friend, then whatever advice he will give me, if we follow, then I am happy. There is no limit. He says, sarvadharman pratyajya mamekam saranam bhaja. If we do that, we become happy. What is the limit? From historical point of view, of course, no, religious literature is older than Bhagavad Gita. It was spoken by the Supreme Lord personally 5,000 years ago. And that's the whole thing we are presenting. As it is, our Bhagavad Gita is therefore named Bhagavad Gita as it is, without any interpretation, without any addition or alteration. No, we don't make that. If we make addition or alteration, then where is the authority of Bhagavad Gita? We don't do that. And that is proving effective. Those who are taking according to the instruction, they're becoming happy. Practical. Without any consideration of time, country, people, anyone is accepting and is becoming happy. And they are not expected to undergo very severe type of austerities. Neither pranayama or yoga, there are no. Simply I have advised them with these beads, chant Hare Krishna, 16 times. They chant. It is very easy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, 16 times. It takes about 2 hours. And they are refraining from 4 kinds of sinful activities. Illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, media. This much they are following austerities, chanting Hare Krishna mantra, taking prasada, they are happy. Anyone can take it. It is not difficult at all. Anyone. they are Grihasthas. It is not that one has to become a sannyasi. No. All my disciples, here is a Grihastha, here is a sannyasi, here is a brahmachari. So all together, they are serving the same purpose. And you are getting good result. You have seen our Ratha Yatra?
We were with you.
Huh?
We were with you. Father, and at your feet, while you were.
Yeah.
So, it was a miracle.
10,000 people participated.
She was with you, Swami.
Oh, I think yes.
For the first time in 2 years, she has walked 2 miles.
Oh.
It was only because of your grace.
Oh. Yes, it was 3 miles.
And she has never walked even 300 yards.
I also, since I became sick, I was not walking.
No, it was a miracle for us, you know. I never believed. Actually, we had approached Vaikunthaji to make arrangements for us to, you know, sit in the van and then follow you.
So, you can distribute this prasad little bit. Yes, after all, it's not property, but it has come through George. I'm coming here. Adi hum punarjanmanayati. Such person, those who are fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, such person, after giving up this body, does not accept any more material ones. He goes back to Krishna. Tapta deham punarjanma naiti mamaiti. He comes to me. So you cannot go to Krishna unless you have your spiritual body. Because the spiritual world and Krishna, they are all spiritual. So you cannot enter into fire unless you are fire. So you have to revive your spiritual body, spiritual consciousness. Then after giving up the body, you enter the spiritual world. So, Lord Buddha did not speak anything about the spiritual world, but his philosophy said that dismantle this material existence, nirvana. Nobody has preached that you become happy here, either Lord Buddha, Lord Christ, or Krishna, or anybody, Shankar, nobody. But modern materialistic people, they are thinking that we can become happy by adjustment of our material condition. That is not possible.
They want to have the cake and eat it.
Eh?
They want to have the cake and eat it. They want to have two paradises, one here and one thereafter.
Yes.
Fact, they want to buy it.
No, they have no idea of any other paradise than this paradise.
Which to us is the fool's paradise.
Again, I am quoting that Professor Kotash. He said, Swamiji, after this body, there is no life. That is the conviction. This is the primary teaching of spiritual life, that we have got next life. Tatha dehantaram prapti. Dehantaram. After giving up this body, you have to accept another body. This is the first lesson of spiritual education. But they do not understand the first lesson. What is their spiritual understanding? Dehi nasmin datha dehi kumara jogonam jara datha dehantaram pra dhirasatvamai. Dehantaram prapti, they do not understand. And it is very easy that I am dehantaram, I am changing my body. I was a baby, I was a child, I was a boy, I was a young man. So I have changed so many bodies. But I remember, I was a child, I remember, I was a boy, I remember. Therefore I am existing, my body has changed. Simple truth. But similarly, when this body will be changed, I will exist. Where is it difficult to understand? But this plain thing they cannot understand. And they are passing as educated philosophers, scientists. This plain thing they cannot understand. The brain is so dull. Tatha dehantaram prapti. As I have changed so many bodies, I exist, I remember, I have this body. So I may forget. Suppose in my babyhood, what was the feature of my body, I do not know. But there was. My mother knows. She can explain. My dear child, you are like this, you are like this. So forgetfulness is also not that I did not exist. I may not remember my last birth. That does not mean I did not exist. Because forgetfulness is my nature. I cannot remember even what I was doing exactly this time, yesterday, if somebody asked me. I can generally speak that I was sitting, but actually what I was doing, I will have to remember. So the forgetfulness is our nature. Because I have forgotten, death means forgetting. Just like in dream, at night, when we get another body and dream and hover, we go somewhere and talk with somebody, we forget about this body. And again, when I come to this body, I wake up, I forget the dreaming body. So every day I am forgetting. At night I am forgetting this body, and daytime I am forgetting my night body. So forgetfulness is not the basic principle of knowledge. The things as they are, we have to study. The body we change, but we are, as living entity, we are existing. Na hannate hannamane sarir. This is confirmed by authority. Na hannate hannamane sarire. After destruction of this body, the soul is not destroyed. The soul continues. We accept another body. Now, what sort of body we have to accept? That is responsibility. Jyanti deva vrata devan pitrin jyanti pitrin vrata bhute cha jyanti bhutani madhyalino hi jyanti ma. It's about the next life, change of body. You can prepare yourself. Jyanti deva vrata devan. If you prepare your life to go to the higher planetary system, the moon planet, the Venus planet, or other, there are thousands and millions of planets. You can go. Jyanti deva vrata devan. This is clearly stated. Jyanti deva vrata devan. Pitri jyanti pitri vrata. You can go to the pitri loka of planets. Or bhutejja jyanti bhutani. If you want to remain here, you can remain. Madhyalino vijayanti ma. And if you like, you can come to me. Everything is there. So, next life there is, I will have to accept a body, and there are 8 million. we prefer. But Krishna says that whichever body we accept, it is subjected to the four miserable conditions, birth, death, old age and disease. Even Brahma, he has got millions and millions of years duration of life, but still he has to die. Say, anywhere in the material world, you have to undergo the material tribulations, birth, death, old age and disease. Yeah. And life may be for a few hours, and my life may be for a few years. See, it is the question of hours and years, but one has to die. Therefore, Krishna says, Abrahma bhuvana lokan punaravarti noti. Even if you go to the Brahma loka, the topmost planet, there also you'll have to die and again accept another body. This is going on. Go on. Madhyama gatya punarjanma. But you will come to me. Then you don't come back to accept a material body again. So why not try for that? If I have to endeavor for my next better life, so why not accept the supermost life, eternal life? That is intelligence. And that is our Krishna consciousness movement, that you try in this life to get back your spiritual life and come back to Krishna, the eternal home, and live there peacefully, eternal, without any disturbance of birth, death, or anything. These are. कितना दूर है आप लोग का रेसिडेंस इधर से?
15 minutes.
Oh, so anybody?
It's only costing up 5 minutes.
Right.
I'm never eager.
I'm for your service.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Come again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
This
is Sri.
Best. She is your eldest daughter?
No, this is my sister.
Sister, right.
She is getting married on this day.
Father?
My Pitaji. Yeah. How is it?
Aapne Swami?
That's it. Kitna hua hua aapka?
73.
There were so many problems.
Mataji, you sab idhar le.
Aapne keh diya to aa jayenge.
Acha aa jayenge. Sab le aaye. Hari Krishna. You have been any come here? No. This is first time you are coming?
First time I've been here.
Is this KCC ghee?
Where is it from?
KCC.
Nairobi, Kenya. It's packed, mainly packed by
Ramananda.
Very ghee, Nairobi, very nice ghee.
Yes, very good.
Australia also.
New Zealand.
This ghee producing animal. And they're killing this. See? How much injustice. There is no sense in me. I exact from you all the resources, and then I kill you. What is it?
For no other reason but for greed again.
Yes. Tell me, I had seen, and I was telling that these people take meat, a small slab, not very much. And because they are taking everyone, so many slaughterhouses are maintained. If they give a little, then we can replace it by other things. Then so many lives are saved. Can you see, if you, your most philosophical thesis is ahimsa, you can teach them. That will help us also.
If they only want to use their minds, mano pubbam gama dhamma mano setta mano maya manasa ca padittena bahasati va karoti va tako man sukamam veti cakkaccha
mind.
If we can make people use their minds,
so therefore we are trying to engage the mind in Krishna. Sabai mana Krishna padaru rinda vachas vaikuntha gunan vannan. Mind has to be engaged on the lotus feet of Krishna and talk, only glorifying Krishna, then things will come out nice.
But many people are acting more on emotions and feelings than on their mind. Mano, manas, manu is disappearing with many people except to make some money. So
everything has two sides, black side and bright side. We are interested in the bright side. Black side we can point out. But anyone who is sincere, he will take the bright side. Sajjana agunamichyanti, dasavinchati pama. Then goon and dosh, fault and good quality. So those who are sajjan, they take the good qualities, give up bad qualities. Then gradually things will come out. But if we accept God, God is all good, then all good qualities automatically manifest. Jashyasi bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarvai gunai tattva samasati sura. All good qualities manifest. If you remain with the fire, you become warm. The qualities acquired. If you remain in the sun side, you become warm. Because sun is warm, so you acquire the quality. See, if we remain always with Krishna, then we acquire the qualities of Krishna. So God is all good, therefore I become good by association with God. It is very simple reason. Yes, God is all good. So if you remain always with God, then you become good. The same example, if you remain with fire, you become what? The quality of the fire. If you remain in sunshine, you become what? And the more you remain, the more you become warmer, warmer, then become hot. Yes? Just like you put one rod, iron rod, in the fire, it becomes warmer, then it will become red hot. When it is red hot, it is no longer iron rod, it is fire. Touch anywhere, it will burn. From Nairobi they import ghee, I think.
Yeah. Brahman Maharaj was saying many fruits also get to England.
Yeah.
So in Africa they have many nice fruits, but you can't buy them in Africa. They ship them all to England. Although they're all grown there, you can't get nice fruit in Africa.
Neither the Africans like to eat. Yes, they don't. God has created different foodstuff for different living entities.
But they interpret that God has created them also for their consumption. They interpret that the God has created the cattle also for their food.
Yes, but that is the cattle is food for the non-civilized man. If you claim to be civilized, you cannot eat.
Live and let live. That's what I've been asking people wherever I go. They talk of culture, civilization, progress, development, living standards, education, equality, freedom, lots of things. I ask them to define this. And I ask them, the animals are of two types, the carnivorous and the vegetarian. Of course, the carnivorous looks even fiercer. But where has one found in the forest so many thousands of animals slaughtered and lying at random? But man today, in the name of progress and civilization...
very good.
So they have gone, according to me, lower than our animal brothers.
Your animal
is very, very...
In the forest, there is no slaughter, although they are carnivorous animals.
This is the only way.
So actually, in India, the meat eaters were always, but there was no slaughterhouse. The meat eaters, they were allowed that you can sacrifice one goat before the goddess Kali and eat it. That means once in a month. Restriction. An individual person, but no slaughterhouse. What is this nonsense? Big slaughterhouse. Trade with slaughterhouse. This is the... In India, during Mohammedan period, there was no slaughterhouse. Individually, if you like, you can kill one animal. No slaughterhouse.
No mass slaughters. No mass slaughters.
No. This is from the Western world. This is very nice argument that in the jungle there are carnivorous animals, but they don't maintain slaughterhouses. Neither they attack unless they are hungry. Otherwise, in Africa, there is a national
park.
All the animals are freely slaughtered.
Or do you think their life is in danger?
Yes.
If one radiates love and kindness.
Defense is allowed to
anyone. Loves, yes.
You must be fine. That is another thing. But ordinarily, not that because a lion has got jaws and teeth, therefore he is simply jumping over. Not like that. Even people have experienced that when these ferocious animals, they are not hungry, they don't attack. They don't attack. No. Or if you keep the pet lions, giving sumptuously to eat, you know, that is experience. I've seen in the world fair. One man was keeping a lion and a tiger and playing just like his dog. Just like sometimes dogs, they punch over the master. They're doing like that. I've seen it. They train the lion and tiger like that.
Even the carnivorous could be trained to be vegetarians. They could easily be. It's only a habit and custom.
But their nature is to eat meat. You have to give it. That is the one thing. But they can be trained. But not very trustworthy.
If they get a little irritated and hungry, they may go together.
No, if you give them nice food, they will never attack you.
In the Bible also, in the very beginning page, there's a verse, after God created everything, the animals and the trees and everything, then He gave allotment of food to the human society. It says very plainly that the seed-bearing plants and trees of the earth shall be your meat or shall be your food.
You see.
And it says nothing.
Vegetables.
Yes.
Yes, but later, it goes to add something, say, be this meat unto you, yeah? That's where the difficulty comes in. Well, Isaiah in the Bible, one of the fine prophets in the Bible, he says, peace will come on earth when even the... you have long, healthy life.
What is your age?
I'm 59 years. You say arogya paramalabha samtutti paramandanam viswasha paramanati nibbana paramaskara.
Jaya.